Hey, hello. Victor Perolnik here with TrustSpring. Today, I want to talk about how a developer recruitment process generally looks like, what different companies, recruiting companies do different, how you can do that in-house yourself, what is just crucial to be aware of, and what the differences are between how some people do it. I want to touch on whether you can use AI for that, and what you sort of need to watch out for with candidates or companies, and the like. So, first of all, to give you a brief overview, we are an IT recruiting company specializing in SaaS companies, so we help SaaS companies run better product teams. We do that by recruiting, headhunting people, and we also consult. So we provide fractional CTOs, fractional CPOs, very good people, very experienced people. So if you ever have problems with your dev team, with running, managing that, with being productive, anything like that, hitting milestones, we can help. So just feel free to reach out, book a call, write an email. The link is in the description. And so now, getting back to the actual topic, recruitment process, what does that look like? First of all, it's important to understand that within software development, it's, I don't want to say it's impossible because it really depends on the region you're looking in, the role, the position. It used to be worse in like 2021, for example. Now it's a little bit better. But in general, you are having a very hard time just posting a job post and getting useful applicants for, let's say, a senior job position, unless maybe you're Google, right? And I have actually made another video, which I'll link here as well, on, well, what how you can stand out as opposed to enterprise companies or big tech companies, and compete on other things than salary. So watch that video. But generally, in terms of how you even find people, then just posting job posts is not really enough. And so what you'll end up having to do is a bit of headhunting, so, right? So headhunting is a process where you, mostly on LinkedIn, there might be other platforms, there might be secret ways to get to a certain community, whatever that might be, but there are sources that you look at. You look at profiles, you try to proactively find people who are probably a good fit for the role, and you write to them, right? And the thing here is that when you do that, this is classic cold outreach, right? You need to do it in a way that's appealing. You need to write to not everybody, to really people who are very suitable. Otherwise, you'll just be writing, you'll be marked as spam, all of that. And you need to write a pitch that's attractive. You know, just writing, hey, I see you're a .NET developer. We have a .NET position. Let me know if you're interested, and I can tell you more. That's usually not enough. It's not a compelling pitch, because they're probably getting that a couple times per week at least, right? So you do need to know how to stand out. You need to know what developers want, and I do want to refer you to that other video if you want to know what developers are looking for in a role, and that can help you write a more compelling pitch. And so that is the first thing, right? The first thing is you get people in who are interested. And usually it's a combination of, yes, posting to job boards, posting to communities, and headhunting, right? Can't say that nobody useful has ever applied through a job post, because that's just not true, right? It's just that if you only focus on that one channel, usually it's not going to work out, at least not within reasonable amount of time. And that is a lot of work, which is why a lot of people then tend to, unless they have their own team doing that, hand that over to an agency like ourselves, right? Okay, so that's the first part. Now, the second is you do an interview, right? And the interview usually does, the goal of an interview is a couple of things. Your intention is to understand, hey, are we a fit on a personal level? Do you have any questions about the company, the project? And here it's really crucial that if you use recruiters, that they really understand what your company's about, what the team looks like, what the upcoming scope of work is going to be. Because that is, these are questions that good candidates are going to be asking. They just want to know that. So we have a process, we have a workbook that we go through and ask all of those questions so that our recruiters are prepared. Now, so obviously if you do that internally, or especially if you do CEO hiring, right? If you as a CEO or founder or chief executive, CTO, whoever, are doing the hiring, then obviously you don't need to prepare. You know that. And you should be the most convincing person to do so, obviously. Now, in terms of that interview, the other thing that's important is to see if you can get along with the candidate. If from a personal perspective, they seem okay. That's more of the soft skill thing. And the third goal is to obviously vet their skills, right? And there are a couple of approaches to doing that. Even if you recruit in-house, it's probably not very efficient in terms of the usage of your time to have your CTO take this sort of interview and really do an in-depth technical interview as well. And that's because there's just going to be a lot of candidates. And so what we do internally, we split that up into two interviews, right? First interview is that less technical interview, but we ask a couple of rapid-fire tech questions that have been prepared by our CTOs. And we record that, we transcribe that, and we send that to our CTOs for review for candidates that we think are a good candidate, personality-wise, project-wise, that they're really interested in the job, et cetera, and that, and who fulfill other criteria, right? And so our CTOs then look at those and shortlist candidates for the actual technical interview. And then we do a technical interview where we ask very in-depth technical questions to the candidate to really make sure they actually know what they're talking about. And a lot of times, this is where, let's put it this way, there's a lot of recruiting companies out there who don't do technical interviews, right? And so what is the problem with that? The problem is that you're going to get a lot of candidates that are not quite as strong as they appear to be. Everything on the CV checks out. I'm not saying they're lying on the CV. It's just that there's a lot of people with 5, 6, 7 years of experience that look great on paper, but they're not actually that good. You ask them some tougher questions, nothing out of the ordinary. The goal of technical interview questions is not try to understand if they remember everything from a university class they took in computer science 20 years ago. That's not the point. The point is, in a day-to-day project, things that they should really understand and know by heart, can they explain that? Can they work with that? Can they think? Can they, you know, all that is required. And so at that stage, really, most people drop out. A lot of people drop out before, but here, you're really usually left with 2 to 5 people, really. So if your recruiting company delivers 20, 30, 40, 50 candidates, that's not, you know, you need to vet all of those. That's a lot of time. So what we do is we have that technical interview, and we usually deliver about 3 to 5 candidates. Now, important thing that a lot of people ask me is, Can you use AI to help you with vetting, with recruiting? And the answer is yes and no. You can get a lot of help from AI. You can get a lot of help preparing job posts. You can get a lot of help pre-screening CVs. We've even built an internal tool to help us with that. But the point is always, you can only do that if you actually know what you're doing. That's the general point with AI. If you have no clue what you're doing, AI, or, you know, we're mostly talking about OpenAI, right? So ChatGPT-ish AI and nothing custom built, then this might be a little bit better than you if you really don't know anything. It usually is, right? Then ChatGPT is probably better than you, but it's still not good. You're really good with these kind of things, usually, when you absolutely know what you're doing and you're using that to help you automate things, but you still keep control, right? And so that's where a lot of these things fall apart, right? You're getting a pre-screening from AI. You don't know if it's doing a good or a bad job necessarily. And you might get a lot of great candidates that are just being rejected. So for example, what we've seen is oftentimes you specify a certain technology that would be really good to have for that candidate, but it's a technology, let's say a very specific framework or framework number or whatnot. You put that in the job description, right? But that might not be something that people usually put in their CV. For example, whether they have worked with the Stripe API. That's not very often something, that's something that a lot of developers know, but not something they put in a CV, right? Because it's just too much of a detail. And so you put that in the requirements, and the AI, if you don't configure it well, it's just going to look through all the CVs, and you're going to reject most of the candidates because they don't have the Stripe AI requirement. At the same time, somebody who's not a great fit might have put that in there, and they're like, well, this seems to be the best candidate in terms of all the buzzwords. So be careful with AI, and where it becomes really funny is when the candidates use AI as well. And we've had a bit of experience with that. So, for example, I was sitting on an interview myself where the candidate, so there's tools out there that plug into Zoom or Google Meet or whatever is being used to do the actual interview. And they will transcribe what the interviewer is saying, automatically feed that into ChatGPT or a special configuration of that, right? And so the candidate doesn't even need to type anything. It's automatically being done for them. And then it gives them the answers to the question so that they can just read that out. And that works pretty well. Especially if the interviewer isn't 100% doesn't know 100% what they do. Usually the best symptom to look for that, obviously a lot of times, what covers that up a bit is the English language level of the candidate. If they're not super fluent, you might not catch that this quickly, because how you notice that is that they need a bit of time still to digest and read it, right? It's not a straightforward answer. And so your best bet to understanding, apart from looking at the eyes movement, whether somebody's clicking around, reading something, but again, sometimes they just speak slower, wear reflective glasses, whatnot, and you don't really see it. But if they can't give a straightforward answer, if they start with things like, oh yeah, they're just trying to buy time, right? So if they're starting with things like, oh yeah, I've had a lot of experience with that, I have been working with that for quite a while, and they start giving a very generic answer first, which is like, so Angular is a very popular technology and it's being used on a lot of projects, and that was really buying them time to really read over what's been given to them. And then they get to the details of like, well, in Angular this is how you do X, Y, and Z. And so that's a strong sign that somebody is using AI, but obviously it's hard to really tell. And so what a technical interviewer will do is just try to dig deeper and deeper, and especially try to get personal experience from the developer and say, hey, so how have you applied that specifically in that project in this company? And you can fairly quickly sense if that checks out, if that makes sense, or if that is just being completely made up. So that's sort of that process. And so you should have probably about a few dozen or 100 candidates top of the funnel, then you should be reviewing those CVs, checking those out. You should be left with maybe about 30, that's my plus minus, who are now actually doing the first interview, max 10 who are on the technical interview, better 5, and then we at least usually have 2 to 4, the really strong, available, and interested to present to the client. And then usually within that first round, people are actually getting hired. Obviously, it happens that people don't make the trial period. Recruiting is always risk mitigation, but not risk avoidance. You cannot avoid the risk. It is just mitigation. We're doing things to weed out most of the bad people or people who are not qualified and try to find the ones who really are. It's never with 100% certainty. But obviously with us, most recruiting firms, you get a warranty and whatnot. So if that doesn't work out during the trial period, then obviously you're getting a replacement, right? But and for us, at least, that process takes a couple of weeks, most of the time 4 to 6 weeks, because we do the interviews. So it's that just takes a while to coordinate. And Yeah, this is how we work. This is how a lot of other companies work. This is what I would pay attention to if you're sourcing, if you're using somebody, if you're trying to find a company or whatnot. Make sure they do technical interviews. That would be my best tip, because otherwise it's a waste of time, really. They say they only do AI or whatnot. It's okay, but it's never great. So that's at least my personal opinion. All right, if you have any questions, if you want to talk to us, if you have somebody you want to get recruited open positions, feel free to reach out. I'm looking forward to working with you, and have a wonderful day.